The Man in the Iron Mask.
When Louis discovers that his brother Edmund's wife is a beautiful woman, he alters his plans about putting Edmund to death. Instead, he is charming to his brother and tells him that he and his wife have the freedom of Paris for that evening before embarking for the island early the next morning. When they have left the palace, he smilingly informs Letellier of the revenge that he will take. After Edmund and his wife Marguerite have reached the island, Louis intends to call him back to the mainland. And then he, Louis, will go to the island masquerading as Edmund. And he will deceive the lovely Marguerite.
Won't it be charming, Letellier? I will go to the island, and I'll be received with open arms by that beautiful woman we saw in the antechamber.
Your Majesty, your astuteness dazzles me. No brain but yours could conceive such a plan.
And no arms but these will hold such a woman as Marguerite after tomorrow.
But how will you deal with your brother Edmund when it's all over?
The iron mask, of course.
But, Your Majesty, there are two. You ordered another one to be made, a lighter one.
Yes, quite so. But make sure that both are dispatched to the island. When the time comes, he shall wear the heavy mask. And then I shall not bother with my brother Edmund ever again.
Your Majesty, do you not agree with me now that everything happens for the best? The Cardinal's niece in the country, she seems a long way away now, doesn't she? And now that you've seen the lovely Marguerite...
Ah, yes. Marguerite is much more beautiful, but somehow, Letellier, Maria, little Maria... Oh, she was not pretty, I know, but there was something about her, something that I'll never forget. Even now, I wonder if she'll take the step. The church, when I offered her the world, the whole world.
Sit down, Reverend. Thank you, Reverend Mother. I have a letter here from His Eminence the Cardinal. He asks us to make sure that spiritually you are contented, Maria, because he knows as well as I do that if you enter the church with regrets, then you are entering in vain. Have you any regrets, child?
Regrets? I don't know, Reverend Mother. I'm frightened to think.
Frightened? But what is there to be frightened? Renunciation of the world drives out all fear. There must be no fear in your heart, only love and the spirit of self-sacrifice. What makes you frightened, child?
I'm not frightened for myself. I'm frightened for somebody else, Reverend Mother.
And who is this somebody else?
I dare not speak his name. You see, I cannot forget him.
You can't forget him?
No.
Somebody you are in love with?
Yes, Reverend Mother. I've tried to put him from my thoughts. And all last night I lay awake wondering how I could face this day. The day when I knew I would climb the hill to this nunnery and stand before you.
My child, in such a frame of mind you cannot enter the church. You realize that?
I do. But I want to come here, Reverend Mother. I want to escape the world. And more than anything else, I want to escape him. The man I love.
You will find peace and contentment here. You'll find that you can forget all your worldly cares, that your love of humanity and of God must be greater than anything else.
You are not sure of yourself, child? No. And yet, I want to be. I want to be here in these sheltering walls, away from this man outside. He can hurt me. He will hurt me. I know only too well.
Then rest here for a week. Contemplate in the walled garden. Talk with me and with the sisters. Perhaps when you see the happiness they find in their great work, you will be cured, I'm positive, child, because all who come here find rest in me.
Edmund, the sun is just rising.
Are you tired, my darling?
Tired? I've never been more alive, more excited, more wide awake in all my life.
And yet we've seen this whole night through.
As you promised.
You wanted it this way, didn't you? To see Paris with me.
What we have seen, I remember all my life. Theaters, the sideshows, the great eating house where we ate chicken and drank wine.
And then last but not least, the long walk in the moonlight by the Seine.
And then movement once again with the first light. the horses and carts. Stirring of a sleepy city. Oh, Edmund, it's been paradise.
There'll be many more nights together. But so unlike this one. Nights on our island. Perhaps with the song of birds. The swish of waves and sea wind.
While we've been waiting here, I've been wondering about the island, Edmund. I look up there at the palace, all that ugly stone, this flagged square, and I think to myself, I think, on the island we shall be with nature. Trees, perhaps a brook, and the sea birds and waves. We shall be happier, I think. Happier than we could ever have been here on the mainland.
So long as we're together, that is all that matters. Look, here comes the men now. Why, it's Monsieur Letellier.
Good morning, Mr. Martiali. Will you draw your cowl a little closer round your face?
Oh, certainly.
And how is Madame this morning?
Very well, thank you, Monsieur. We thought you had forgotten us.
I must apologize for a slight delay. One of the carriages had to be changed, a broken spring.
One of the carriages? But surely we don't need more than one.
My dear Martiali, there's a great deal to bring from the mainland to the island.
Well, I have very little baggage.
Rooms have to be furnished, and there are certain other articles to be taken to the island.
A certain mask, for instance.
A mask? Not the mask you are thinking of, Monsieur. The king keeps his promise. This will be of much lighter texture. Well, here come the first of the carriages. Will you and Madame embark upon it? This will take you to the coast, where a boat will be waiting, and soon you'll be on your way to your new home. Soon the carriages were loaded, and with the sun now well up in the heavens, the party, drawn in the carriages with the royal crest, made their way to the coast. Upstairs in the palace, the king had been surveying the courtyard from a long, narrow window. And as he looked thoughtfully after the retreating carriages, there was a knock upon the door.
Come in. Ah, you've done your work?
Yes, Your Majesty. I followed out your instructions to the letter. They're on their way to the coast, and before nightfall, they'll be upon the island.
Oh, waste of time for my poor dear brother. Little does he know that the day after tomorrow, he'll be on his way back.
I'm a little nervous about your brother, Your Majesty. He believes he goes to that island for good and all.
Well, I did mention that I may have one more commission for him to perform. Oh, he took it badly, but when he reads the contents of this letter, I think he'll be satisfied.
You've already written the letter?
I've not wasted any time, my dear Letellier. Now, how does it sound? I'll read it to you. My dear brother, may I bring to your mind that I spoke of one more commission which I would have you perform for me. I find that once again I'm obliged to go into the country on urgent business. And it is business which is no concern of the court. Therefore, my dear brother, it is most necessary that you take my place once again as King of France. So successful were you on previous occasions that I feel sure you will once again perform a great service for your brother and your king. In fact, on this occasion, when I return from my visit to the country, I will find it in my heart to give you your freedom.
His freedom, Majesty?
Yes. Good faith, Letellier, don't you think? I will find it in my heart to give you your freedom, because I know that I will be able to trust you for always, since you have not taken advantage of your position here in my court. There you are. How's that?
Oh, he'll not question that. His freedom, indeed. But you don't mean it, surely, Your Majesty.
Oh, hardly, my dear Letellier. But this will keep him here for some time. The promise of freedom will give me a longer holiday on the island with his lovely Marguerite.
But do you think you can deceive her? She's in love with her husband. She'll detect the difference, surely.
Can you detect a difference between us?
In the tone of your voice.
Oh, well, then I shall speak like my brother. Is there any other difference?
Well, no, Your Majesty. In features, in expression, yes, you're two peas in a pod.
Oh, good. Now, look, send this letter. As soon as the boat which bears into the island now returns from its journey, let this letter be taken and delivered by the same boat.
Yes, Your Majesty.
And in the meantime, I shall practice with my brother's voice so that his wife, Marguerite, will receive me with open arms.
Don't you envy me, Letellier?
It is an exquisite situation, Your Majesty. But how will it end?
Ah, that also have I planned most carefully. If my masquerade is successful with the gentle Marguerite, I shall dispose of my brother when I come back to the palace.
You mean execute him?
Yes. And that will leave me free to lead two lives. One is Louis, King of France, and the other is Edmund, husband of Marguerite. Yes, that will help to relieve the boredom of the king.
Little realizing that ominous clouds were gathering, Edmund and Marguerite lay happily back in their carriage, which was bearing them towards the coast. Will Louis's masquerade be successful? Will this act lead to tragedy for both lovers? Make sure you hear the next absorbing chapter of The Man in the Iron Mask.